Okay, number 23 in a series of sermons on the seven assemblies in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. We've been examining the book now for, 23 times 2, 46 weeks. Actually, I think there's maybe 20 weeks in between that I didn't open up the topic on this, but so probably half a year we're working on this. So we've been examining the book, or the scroll, written to the seven assemblies, which contain the seven greetings to the seven assemblies, the seven attributes of Yahshua, the seven praises, the seven criticisms, the seven warnings, the seven exhortations, and now the seven blessings that Yahshua describes in the second and third chapters of the book of the Revelation of Yahshua HaMashiach. These blessings are conditional, granted to the worshipers of Yahweh who have the same faith as the Messiah. They're not simply provisions of grace. These are not just given to anybody, but are part of the blessings promised from the beginning for obedience to the word of Yahweh, which offers life and death. The word of Yahweh is for blessings. It's also for cursings. Those who are willing to acknowledge their humility and be obedient to the Creator of the universe, they will receive blessings. But those who are caught up in their own selves and who refuse the direction of Yahweh will not survive eternity. Yahshua's blessings are granted when we agree to walk with him as he walks with his Father. This is the way it has always been, is now, and forever will be. Our text today is about the assembly at Smyrna, which, if you recall, was prophesied to experience 10 days of tribulation. Is it not interesting that there are 10 days from the day of trumpets to the day of atonement? From the day Yahshua reveals himself from heaven to the day that all Israel is gathered together at one ment, waiting for another 5 days to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Isn't that interesting? Revelation 2, beginning at verse 11. Says, he who has an ear, in other words, to those who have been called out, he's saying to those who have an ear, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Now, notice that he's writing to the assembly at Smyrna, but he's talking about what the Spirit says to all of the assemblies. And he writes, or he says, John writes, he who overcomes, that is, he who obeys the will of Yahweh, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Second death. Okay. But aren't we appointed to only one death? Doesn't it say that somewhere in Scripture? Well, it does, but let's look at it. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning at verse 11. It's a rather long section, but I want to include that, what we're talking about, appointing to one death, in context. Hebrews 9, verse 11 begins, but Messiah came as high priest of all the good things to come, with the greater or more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not of this world. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, okay, that is not an eternal sanctification, because it's the sanctification of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit, and that is by the authority of Yahweh, offered himself without spot to Yahweh, cleanse your conscience from dead works. Now, clear your conscience. What is a conscience? Is it not our morality, our conscience? Is it not our morality, our knowledge of right and wrong, and our willingness to sin? Isn't that our consciousness? Our conscience, I mean. To transgress the law of Yahweh? Of course, that is our conscience. It is linked to our sense of guilt that we experience when we know we've done wrong. By being baptized in the name of Yahshua and having the Spirit of Yahweh promised to us by the laying on of hands by the elders, we are cleared of our conscience and given the will to obey the word of Yahweh. Now this verse that I'm talking about concludes that Yahshua's sacrifice was made for us so that we may, what? Serve the living Elohim. Serve. Serve how? By obeying the word of Yahweh. Okay. Verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. Okay, now it says new covenant, which many take to mean a brand new, different law. But this is a false teaching. The covenant being referred to here is the covenant found in Jeremiah 31, 31 and following, repeated word for word in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 10, which describes a covenant in which he, Yahweh, puts his law into our hearts and minds so that we will have the heart and knowledge, have the emotion and the knowledge to obey his law, whereby he becomes our Elohim, our Father, and we become his people, his children. It is a new covenant, not a new law, to restore his eternal, never-changing law. The law hasn't changed, just the covenant. Okay, back to verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. It's the same law as the first covenant. That those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So who inherits the provisions of a will? One's children. Okay? And can children be written out of one's will? Yep. And why? Why would someone be written out of someone's will? Well, generally, disobedience. Verse 16. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while a testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. In other words, they use blood as a testament to the people who were fleshly trying to obey the law of Yahweh. Okay. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. So can you see that this is all preparation in the flesh for something that's going to come down the line in the future? Verse 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Okay? Better sacrifices would be a spiritual sacrifice, one made by Yahshua, essentially. For the Messiah has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Okay. Now, the next verse is the verse I'm getting to. Verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So the Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. The reference here to dying once clearly is about the death that we all anticipate, the death of our flesh. Okay? That's the one death that is being referred to. The judgment here refers to the separation of the goats and the sheep, as it were. Those who are raised from the grave in the first resurrection at the beginning of the millennial reign of the Messiah, and those raised from the grave at the end of the millennial reign. Beyond that is the white throne judgment, when all evil will be done away with. Okay, now continuing on in that verse, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin. Okay, and that is without reference to a sacrifice for sin. Okay, the second appearing is not for a sacrifice, but for salvation. Okay. So the first death is the death of our fleshly body, and the second death is the death of the spirit residing within man. And when Yahshua says in Revelation 2:11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, he is essentially saying, for those of you who are like first fruits, like me, like Yahshua, raised at my second coming, I have 1,000 years of work for you as priests in my kingdom, where you will care for others just as you have cared for others when you were in the flesh. After that will be the second resurrection, and you will continue to teach those who never received my word. Then, after the final judgment, when I will put away Satan and all who follow him, we shall spend eternity together. And you can't imagine what I've got in store for you. That's what I think he's saying there. All right, if you would turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 20. Revelation 20, and beginning at verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4 begins, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Now, presumably, and we're talking about the 24 elders made up of the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Yahshua HaMashiach. And I saw thrones and sat on them, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Yahshua and for the word of Yahweh. In other words, for their walk with Joshua and for their obedience to the law of Yahweh. Who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Talking about those who are resurrected at the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That's where we want to be, right? Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here's a second witness to this blessing that Yahshua is presenting to us, that we will not perish in the second death if we are in the first resurrection. And the second death is the death of one spirit. So the prerequisite for receiving the blessing of protection from the second death is one word, overcoming. That is the prerequisite, essentially, for being raised in the first resurrection. Winning victory over our adversary, Satan, who is the father of all lies, the enemy of Yahweh. That is what Satan is known for from the very beginning. He lied to Eve. He lied to everyone he could get his hands on throughout the scriptures. We are not to believe the lie. And the truth is in the scripture. The truth is what Yahweh has caused us to write and to have in front of us in the what we call the Old and the New Testament. It's just one book. We are not to believe the lies spawned by Satan, lies that have so easily been given into since the time of Adam and Eve. And as we studied in part 22, you will stand in righteousness by doing three things. Number one, obeying the word of Yahweh. That's first and foremost. Number two, trusting. Not in this world, and not in the peace that this world brings, but trusting that the true peace process will begin after the tribulation. That is, not by the power of political diplomacy or war, but at the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. And three, teaching the good news. Sounds simple, doesn't it? My friends, it is one of the mightiest challenges of my life to spread the true evangel of Yahshua, the Messiah. There are two ways by which most people will come to know Yahweh and His Son. The good way, as written in Exodus 29 and verses 45 and 46, Exodus 29:45 says, I will dwell among the children of Israel. This is Yahweh speaking to his people. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their Elohim. And they shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Yahweh their Elohim. And people will know Yahweh the bad way, as written in Ezekiel 35, beginning at verse 10. Ezekiel 35 and verse 10, which says, because you have said, these two nations, okay, then this is referring, this is spoken after the house of Israel was scattered to the nations. Because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, although Yahweh was there. Therefore, as I live, says Yahweh Almighty, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. And when would that be? Could it be happening as we speak? Verse 12. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh. I have heard all your blasphemies which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate, they are given to us to consume. Thus with your mouth you have boasted against me and multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Verse 14. Thus says the Almighty Yahweh, the whole earth will rejoice when I make you desolate, as you rejoiced because the inheritance of the house of Israel was desolate, so I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, and as well as all of Edom, all of it. Then they shall know that I am Yahweh. Yeah. No, I think I'll opt for plan A, obedience to Yahweh. We are blessed, brothers and sisters, if we understand that the time is now and the place is here, that Yahweh is making himself known to us. We are blessed to just know that. And I say, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear and do, Israel. Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is uniting us. I also say, may we wrap ourselves in the banner of Yahweh, who is Yahshua the Messiah, so that the manipulations of Satan may not pierce us. And may we put away the lies that deceive our hearts into thinking that Yahweh doesn't mean what he says. The lie is the same in the beginning as it is now. It is, surely you will not die. Satan reiterates this lie throughout the scripture, and Yahweh reiterates his truth all through scripture. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Ezekiel 18, beginning at verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. He's not a partial Elohim, is he? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Almighty Yahweh. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity, that is sin, will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says Almighty Yahweh. Therefore turn and live. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Almighty Yahweh. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity, that is, sin, will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves, what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Almighty Yahweh. Therefore turn and live. What we have is an Elohim who is impartial. And I need to ask, does the fact that Yahweh has no pleasure in our eternal death mean that he will not throw us into the lake of fire? Brothers and sisters, I can't answer that, for we are not given to make that judgment. But I do have one question for you. Does Yahweh ever lie? Then, enough said. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Jeremiah 16, Verse 19 begins, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The nations, that is, the Gentiles, the nations, the peoples, shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself, which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Yahweh. I've got to ask you, does this sound like the words of compassion and understanding? Absolutely not. Yahweh here is not pleased with those who turn from his ways and pursue the traditions of the nations. There may be some of you watching or listening out there to this and do not understand what I mean by traditions. So let me ask you, do you know the traditional birthday of all the sun deities? And that includes Nimrod, Tammuz, which you find written in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 8, Mithra and Zeus. It is December 25th. Not December 21st, the winter solstice, but 4 days later. That is the traditional birth of all the sun deities. And do you know who Easter is? Do you know when the year begins? It's not January 1st. Look that up on the internet or in some encyclopedia. They will tell you the truth about the December the 25th. My friends, we have been taught lies from the time of Yahshua's sacrifice. Actually, even before that, the Pharisees created their own laws. That's why Yahshua referred to them as having a father whose name is Satan. They preach in the synagogue of Satan. They're a brood of vipers. Only because they abandoned the law of Yahweh, made up their own laws. They made up laws that caused them to forget the ways of Yahweh. It is because they added to and took away from the word of Yahweh. The word that was given to Adam and to Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Israel, and to Judah, and to Joseph, and to King David, the word that was given to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and James, and Peter, and Paul, and Titus, and Timothy, and to us. It is in the book that Americans carry around with them when it's time to go to church, as if it were a part of their attire. But do you read it? Do you know that the Old Testament and the New Testament are really just one book? The front part of the book defines the rules, introduces the characters, sets the stage over and over again, inspires us, and predicts the future. Do you know that? The last part of the book is made up of the same rules, the same characters on the same stage, and fulfills the previous predictions and continues to inspire us in future and further predicts future events. It is a book written by Yahweh through his chosen people, the Israelites, for all mankind who would worship and obey Yahweh. How many of you know that the entire Bible is about creation, law, disobedience, exile, and restoration? Creation, law, disobedience, exile, and restoration, over and over and over again. It is about Yahweh creating everything by way of his word. It is about his people disobeying his word and being exiled out of the land that was given to them and to us by Yahweh. And it is about him calling to us to come back to Him, to come back and worship Him the way He has specified, through His word, through His law. In every instance given in Scripture, His chosen ones abandoned His ways and suffered His punishment. But He so loved the world, the whole world, that He sent His only begotten Son in order to show the way of righteousness, to be an example of what it means to obey the Father. The leaders of Judea did not recognize Yahshua as their Messiah. Why? Well, because they had for the previous 300 years been altering Yahweh's laws, adding to and taking away from the way of Yahweh, misinterpreting what the Scripture said. They looked at Scripture and thought that that was simply rhetorical or figurative. It turned out that Yahshua honored that as literal. And they thought that a part of the Scripture was literal, but it, in truth, was figurative. They missed Him because they didn't understand the Scriptures. They didn't go by what the Scripture was saying. They went by their own laws. We must not make this mistake again. We must shake off the traditions of man and begin following the way that Yahweh has given for us. Many times I have wondered if anything we say up here has any impact at all on our listeners. And I've come to realize that, at least at this point in my life, nothing I have ever said has brought the Spirit of Yahweh into anyone's heart. But rather, we, in the same way that Yahshua spoke of Himself, are doors to the kingdom. Yahweh calls, Yahshua chooses, and we stand at the door to the kingdom of Yahweh, crying, "Come, see the word of Yahweh. Behold everlasting salvation." Not for anything we could possibly do of our own fleshly spirit, but rather what we are empowered to do by the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts and our minds. Come. Learn of His ways and drink from the wells of salvation, that you may be redeemed. Yahshua has paid the price for you. Honor Yahweh. Obey His law so that Yahshua will come back for you. Now, should you accept His purchase, your righteous law-abiding works have purpose and worth. And I ask that Yahweh enrich your life unto the end of time. Hallelujah.